Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns, and today on the pod, we have Kelly Williams, who is the co-host of Beyond the Blinds podcast, and you also may recognize her as at Laguna Biatch on Instagram. Kelly is just as pop culture obsessed as I am, and I've been wanting to have her on for a while now. We talked all about the latest episodes of Summer House and The Valley, and we just had a great convo, and she didn't hold back about her feelings about some of the people on those shows. Not much else to report up top here today. We did get the Real Housewives of Miami trailer this week, which was honestly kind of light on drama, but I also don't really give a fuck because the Miami cast is the closest we have to old Roni for me, in the sense that like they can make me laugh just by simply existing amongst one another and interacting with one another. And I have complete faith in them to deliver an entertaining season. Like, I don't care if there's not some big scandal or whatever, or that maybe the Marcus and Larsa stuff or the Alexia and Todd stuff might feel like old news by now. I was just so happy watching that trailer and knowing that they're coming back in June that I wasn't even really caring about parsing it for clues and details over sort of what the season has in store for us. But it's definitely going to be about those two breakups for sure, even though we also now know that Alexia and Todd go through with the divorce but decide to stay together. They just don't want to be married. So it might feel a little anticlimactic potentially. I don't know, but we'll still get some clues as to what happened there. And we also got confirmation of a Dr. Nicole appearance. So her time on Real Housewives of Miami is not done. And she expresses in the quick clip we see of her that she has this basically like unbothered interest in meeting Stephanie, the new housewife who used to date Anthony. So she's showing that she's not bothered by the fact that they hired her husband's ex, which on other shows has caused quite a stir. And she's smart. She's not giving in to that sort of pressure to make a drama. That's queen shit right there. So yeah, I'm extremely excited for Real Housewives of Miami to return. I also stopped by a quick event that Lindsay Hubbard was hosting for her brand partnership with Airwick on Tuesday, and she has an amazing new short haircut that she debuted there. She's back to being short. I'm obsessed with it. She seems very happy and relaxed. We didn't have that much time to catch up, so no tea to share, but it was very nice seeing her quickly post-reunion. And I just wanted to say once again up top here, thank you all for the support on the new Gabbing with Gib merch that I announced on Monday. Go check out my Instagram if you have not seen that. It's doing very well, and I got such amazing feedback on it. So thank you for purchasing it. Thank you for checking it out. Please go click the link in the show notes if you have not already. Everybody in your life who doesn't take you seriously for watching reality TV and being obsessed with Bravo needs to know that hating on reality TV doesn't make you deep, that Bravo is your sports, and that the smartest people they know watch Bravo. So put it on a hat, put it on a shirt, go buy it in the Gabbing with Gib store and really hammer that message home. Anyway, keep listening for my chat with Kelly Williams. Check out her podcast, Beyond the Blinds, which is also about to go on tour. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll be back next week with a couple of housewife appearances that I'm really excited to share with you guys. I want to gab. Today we're gabbing with Kelly Williams, a.k.a. Laguna Biatch, a.k.a. one of the hosts of Beyond the Blinds podcast. Kelly and I have been social media friends for years now, and I've been wanting to have her on the show for a while, and I've been noticing her great commentary on The Valley and Summer House on Threads. So I'm very excited to have Kelly on the show today to talk about both shows. Kelly, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm such a fan of this podcast, and I feel like this is like an I've made it podcast. So
oh, stop.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, please.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God. I guess like first, do you watch everything on Bravo? What's your Bravo diet like?
Okay. I don't know if people will like my Bravo diet, but it's Below Deck.
Okay.
Summer House. Top Chef. I watched Vanderpump and now The Valley.
Okay. That's a pretty good mix.
My girlfriend watches Housewives, so like I'll watch it, but I don't have all the backstory.
Okay. And it doesn't like scratch the itch for you.
Some of them do, like this season of Atlanta. I call it like my phone show where I'm on my phone, but then
sure.
I'm like, wait, what did they say? You know, that kind
of
thing.
Uh-huh. I love that. Okay. Yeah. That's a good balance.
And I'll watch like the Roni. I've watched old seasons of Roni and then like the reboot, that kind of stuff.
Cool. And I feel like, so I first fell in love with your content because you post so much about Laguna Beach and the hills, and like that's just like will always just be top tier for me and just like hit the sweet spot for me. Do you feel like Summer House in the Valley, does it scratch any of the same itch, or is it totally different itch from that? Because they're similar age groups, I guess. One's in LA.
I would say it probably scratches like a Laguna itch because it's a group of friends, right? Yeah. And I love any show that revolves around a group of friends. Not as many like longing glances, you know. Sure. I really miss that with like Apologize playing in the background, but that's okay.
Yeah, we traded out the good soundtracks of those, that era of reality shows. We don't get that anymore. It's too expensive.
Definitely.
So I want to talk about the Valley first because, okay, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like I almost feel like I get hit with so much information every episode of the Valley and the after show. And like, I'm not complaining by any means. Like, there's so much good tea in there, but it's almost like I feel like I would have to watch like two or three times to really get everything because they're bearing it all and they're like spilling it all too. Like, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, more so the after show. Like, I watched the after show twice so I could like talk about that more so. The Valley's weird because like I just feel like there are too many cast members. Mm. And I think they need to kind of, I don't want to say trim the fat, you know, I think everybody brings something to the table, but like I would rather see way more like Jasmine and Zach than like say Janet or even kind of Jesse. If I'm being honest.
Oh, really? Even though Jesse's really messy.
I am not a Jesse girl.
I mean, I'm not a Jesse girl either, but it's good. I mean, let's start with Jesse and Michelle, because this episode was like, again, talk about just like an onslaught of like what we got from them. Like, yeah. So we basically kick off with the scene where Jesse is outlining this. He's like triangulated this theory that because they've been buying this kind of honey in their house and it's not available in Whole Foods. And Michelle's like, well, it's available. I get it near Runyon. And he's like, well, she's been going to Runyon a lot in full faces of makeup. And Aaron lives near Runyon. So putting two and two together. And he has this theory that she was having an affair with Aaron. And that's how he thinks that. And Kristen's sitting there. And she's like, well, actually, when I was talking about her last year having a boyfriend, I was talking about somebody completely different. So he's like, well, maybe I was cheated on twice by Michelle, allegedly. Do you buy it? Do you buy his theory? Is that enough to find her guilty?
I'm so crazy. I'm like, I wish she cheated more. You know, I wish she did more. I wish she was worse to him. Like, I don't know. I don't think this cheating is some big smoking gun when he's admittedly been like, I was a terrible husband. Like, he seemed kind of checked out at some point. You know, he was spending all their money. Like, maybe she had to, you know, allegedly sleep with billionaires because Jesse was spending all their money.
Yeah, it's this thing where it's like, it's all tied up. It's like the finances, the affair allegations, it's hard to like parse it all out. But I will say, like, when he was doing that triangulation of his theory, I was just like, you just can't make this shit up. Like, these people are like putting it all out there and like, oh, we're basing it off the honey. Like, it's just like, I don't know. And then in the after show, we find out that, so basically Michelle's denying the affair with Aaron. She says, I reconnected with him after I was separated from Jesse. And Kristen's like, well, actually, Michelle texted me asking about Aaron with a winky face a year or two ago. And Michelle's like, well, that was when I was trying to leave him the first time. And so I kind of feel like there had to be some overlap. It's too convenient of a timeline, you know?
Yeah, definitely overlap, especially with like their daughter being comfortable with him. I feel like there had to have been something.
And so obviously you're siding on the Michelle side of things when it comes to this. Is there anything that you've like from this past episode and after show that you are reading about the situation that you're like, you have your eye on and you're kind of like, I don't know?
I mean, I think it's the fact that like Jesse is basically continuously taking Michelle to court just to drain her money. I think that's really like financially abusive to do. I think that's terrible.
Also, that affects the daughter.
Exactly. And like, he's kind of doing the same thing Jax did in a way where Michelle had to leave the house, you know, and okay, she cheated, maybe, allegedly, whatever. But I don't know. I don't know. I think he's really manipulative. And I kind of think the veil for Jesse's going to fall quicker than people are ready for.
Yeah. And I think that like, it's hard with him because I do think the conversation online is like kind of like
very pro-Jesse.
Kind of pro-Jesse, which is really bizarre. Obviously, it's a little bit misogynistic, and it speaks to sort of where some of the audience comes from. But I also think I actually think maybe even more so speaks to, we have Jax and Jesse coexisting on this show, and we're hearing that Jax like was basically physically abusive to Brittany and throwing that coffee table from the first episode. And it's like, mm-hmm. by comparison, Jesse doesn't seem quote unquote as bad, which like that shouldn't like, you know, absolve him of any like guilt in his bad behavior. But I feel like it's like a lesser of two evils almost. For some
people. He also has the Spencer Pratt thing, where Spencer Pratt did some pretty terrible things on his time on the Hills, but he's funny and it really helps.
That's so true. And he has like this twinkle in his eye too. And it feels like he almost is like taking a lot of glee and joy in, like you said, pushing the divorce proceedings along and, you know, draining her bank accounts and even bringing up the thing in the boys chat about like the $15 a night with the billionaire. Like he like is enjoying watching her squirm. And again, like this is one, if you like that, there are easier ways to do that than bringing up an allegation that you've apparently heard. Cause he said it was a joke. He said he brought it up as a joke to sort of, you know, absolve him. But like then in the after show, he says that he told Michelle about it prior. So like, this is actually a rumor that he had heard. So it wasn't actually a joke, but There are other, you know, quote unquote rumors to have brought up to weed out a mole and to maybe watch your, you know, estranged wife squirm than calling her a high class hooker.
Right. It's always a joke until you get caught saying it. Right. Mm-hmm. Or like, I guess after you get caught saying it, it's like I was just trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm. The boys chat.
Demonic.
Cursed. Cursed. So diabolical. Cursed. Like every word.
And I loved when Jesse was like, Jason's not in it because he has a droid. I'm like, I don't think Jason speaks about women the same way you guys do.
100%. The droid thing was hilarious, first of all, but I agree. I don't think Jason belongs in that chat. I don't. And I also love that, like, Danny's the one that repeated it. And now he's not in the chat. We find out in the actual that he's been kicked out of the chat. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm kind of hung up on the boys chat because I feel like it keeps coming up. And it just, mm-hmm. and, you know, Danny kind of finds himself in the muck because he repeats the thing. And he's really surprised when Luke tells Kristen and Brittany, who tell Michelle, who obviously gets back to him. And then Nia's like, well, I see the boys chats. Okay. Like, I go on his phone. What do you make of that? What do you make of how that got out and Danny's sort of involvement?
I don't know, honestly. I think Danny is way messier than we'll maybe ever know, especially when we found out about him and Jasmine. You know, I think Danny might have a dark passenger in him. And also, if I'm dating Kristen, I'm telling Kristen everything.
Totally.
Because if she found out something I already knew, I'd be dead.
Oh my God, you know that she would launch into Luke if she found out that he was sitting on that. And he also wasted no time doing it either. Like 30 minutes later.
Right. Luke is a star now. He's a Bravo star.
What do you think that Luke is a star?
No, I don't.
Yeah, me either.
You know.
But he did his job this week pretty well. He did his job pretty
Kristen
well, right?
Kristen was probably like, deliver anything to me on camera.
Yes. Yes. You talked about Danny's dark passenger. And it's definitely there. And I feel like last season on the Big Bear trip, like there was that moment at that dinner at the group dinner and him and Nia sort of got into it over something and they had been drinking all day.
Mm-hmm.
And that you could just tell there was something more to that dynamic, the little bit of darkness or a lot of darkness. And we're finding out now there's a lot of darkness. On Halloween, he hit on Jasmine and her girlfriend. Didn't remember and apologized to Michelle because he thought he had hit on Michelle, not Jasmine, her girlfriend. Jason says he gets kicked out of bars every time he drinks because he has such a low tolerance. He doesn't drink that much. And I'm like, that's not normal. That's not okay.
Maybe your drinking should be zero if those are the things that happen. And it's not like he was just like inappropriate, right? Like he like took it another step, putting his hand on Jasmine's lap, saying, get daddy a drink.
Get daddy a drink. Kelly is get daddy a drink. Not even just like the hand on the balls. Like that's like, I don't like that at all. Like there's something in there that's just like there's a power thing in there that I really don't like. And ooh, it's like creepy
beyond. Yeah. And yeah. I've had like, cause I'm a lesbian. So I've had straight guys like push boundaries with me and I'm like, I'm not one of the guys.
Right.
You know?
And do you think that reflects like where him and Nia are? Like why, like what is he getting out when he's drunk that, you know what I mean? Like it's like clearly an outlet for him. That's like, but I feel like I don't have a good concept of their relationship maybe, you know?
It all feels very strange. And one of my things, and I don't know how people receive this, but I'm like, if you're this person who goes to church and you're trying to like better yourself, and why are you hanging out with Jax Taylor?
Why are you hanging out with Jax Taylor? Like, that's a huge red flag, honestly, for any of them who are like still, you know, like even Jason, who I think is a great guy. And like, he seems like just really solid. Like, and he's the one that drove Jax to the rehab facility. But I'm like, why are you such good friends with him?
Right. What's there? What does he have on you?
What is it? Like, is it the star power? Is it like the access to being on TV? Is it he's a fun guy when he's partying?
Yeah, I was just thinking at the after show, Danny mentions that Jax was like, you were fine. You were totally fine. So I think Jax like enables bad behavior and doesn't check them on anything. So he's probably like fun for someone to hang out with if they're not getting checked ever.
That's a really good, that's probably what it is, honestly. But you got to grow up, you know? Didn't somebody say that recently? Like, oh, I think Britney said that on Watch What Happens Live. She's like, you have to grow up sometime. And I'm like, I don't think Jax is growing up. Like, we're seeing on the show, yeah, it's great. He's going to the rehab facility. That's amazing. We find out next week he's like, you know, rage texting her from rehab. And also like on the after show, which is filmed not that long ago, he's still like the Jax that we know and hate. So I'm not sure if their change is happening.
I know. I've never seen Tom Schwartz look so uncomfortable than he does in every single moment of the after show.
Yeah. He's like, why am I with Jax? They put him with Jax and Jesse because they couldn't just have those two together with no intermediary.
I wish they just left those two.
They really are a scary duo, honestly.
Right.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Adobe Acrobat Studio, so brand new.
Show me all the things PDFs can do.
Do your work with ease and speed.
PDF Spaces is all you need.
Do hours of research in an instant.
With key insights from an AI assistant.
Pick a template with a click.
Now your Prezo looks super slick.
Close that deal? Yeah, you won.
Do that, doing that, did that, done.
Now you can do that with Acrobat. Now you can do that
with the all-new Acrobat.
It's time to do your best work with the all-new Adobe Acrobat Studio.
Last thing about Jesse and Michelle, though, we have Michelle breaking down at the end of the episode in Dave & Buster's. Then she tries to organize a vote to vote Jesse out of his own trip that he has rented a house for, that he is, you know, organizing, quote-unquote. How did you react to that? That was never going to go over well, right?
Unfortunately, I think I saw a lot of myself in that. Like, I feel like I would be that person being like, let's just vote him out. Like, I will go. We'll have fun. But it just showed me, like, how much Michelle holds back about what their relationship was like.
Mm.
In my opinion, that's what she was doing. But yeah, it is kind of crazy to be like, get off your own trip. Like, maybe she should get the hotel, you know, but maybe she thought she had numbers.
Do we know what happened? She must get the hotel. Or did she just stay at the house?
Either way.
I also loved, like, after the first scene where he does the whole, like, you know, honey, makeup, Runyon Canyon triangle, he's like, oh, but I'm still going to invite her and Aaron on the trip.
Right.
In that way, he's like, again, not to give him too much credit, but that's a pro move. He learned from Janet not inviting Kristen last year and was like, mm-hmm. Okay, I have to still include her and him.
He's someone I dislike, but can also say he knows how to make a scene. But I think he's going to self-produce a little too much.
Yeah, I think we're kind of honestly already sort of pushing up against that tension, honestly. I'm curious what we're going to get from Aaron, because he shows up to the Dave & Buster's event and obviously he's being spoken about a lot. So I wonder if we'll get like him and Jesse together, like talking about things, or like, I don't know. I'm just so curious how much Aaron will get and if that will sort of color in the story a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but I also hope he's not on it just because, again, there's so much going on the Valley. I'm like, I already have a hard enough time with everyone's names.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When it comes to Kristen and Janet, do you agree with Zach that Janet invited Kristen to her birthday party and not him? That was sort of a way of for her to scheme and potentially like start to patch things up with Kristen with the hope of isolating him. I think that was his implication.
I actually don't. I think she just knows it's better to be on Kristen's good side.
Right.
Like, I almost think Zach might have been an afterthought with that.
Right. Right. And I actually do believe that Janet, if she had her way, would like her and Kristen would be friends again. But I think she actually like does not like Zach, you know, and he's the one that allegedly said the things about her. So it's like, yeah. What do you have any other thoughts on Kristen and Janet? Because that's obviously another sort of central thing here.
Again, I don't hate Janet the way everyone else hates Janet.
Me too, obviously. Like, yeah.
I think she comes off as like a tryhard sometimes, but the way people have latched onto that so hard, like even calling her a Karen in whatever else, I'm like, she's on a show with Jesse and Jax, and you're saying she's the worst part of the show. Her and Michelle are somehow the worst parts of this show.
Well, I actually think a lot of that, honestly, we talked about that at the beginning a little bit, sort of people being anti-Michelle and the Jesse and Michelle of it all. I do think a through line of that is that they're both not friends with Kristen. And I do think that, like, there is this thing that, and I talked about it on my show before, where, like, the investment in Kristen, the comeback of Kristen, who's an amazing reality star and, like, so good for the show and, like, all the things. Like, but I do think that there's, like, a protectiveness of her because of that. That, like, anybody who's, like, daring to go against the kind of people's princess of the valley right now, like, I do think that they're kind of inevitably going to be, like, on the bad side of the viewers in a way, you know?
Yeah. No, I get that for sure. And I love Kristen. I think Kristen's a great reality star. And, like, when they did the wine tasting in Vanderpump, her, like, falling all over that hotel lobby. Yeah. It's one of my favorite, like, reality TV moments.
That was a great little trip, the girl. Yeah, that was that was a great little trip. Last thing about the Valley before we move on. Brittany and Jax, there was that scene at the end of the last episode that I just feel like I haven't really stopped thinking about it, to be honest, because it felt like it was just, like, this one of the darker things we've seen in a while on Bravo and, like, almost, like, too real in a way, you know?
Yeah.
But then there was also the camera element where he's, like, talking to the producers and, like, what was your reaction to that and sort of where have you landed with it now?
Honestly, Troy and I talked about this on Beyond the Blinds and it almost felt like old school Teen Mom, like a moment you're not supposed to be there to see. But I'm also really glad cameras were there because I don't know what would have happened to Brittany in that moment. Honestly. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, break the fourth wall. Then I'm like, not like that. You know?
I know. It's always really jarring, honestly, when you hear the word like cocaine being thrown around on camera. And I was talking to somebody about this and I feel like that was her plan. you know, like that was what she, like she, I think that she came in like wanting to like blow it all up for him because she's obviously beyond over protecting him and she's been protecting him for so long. And it's interesting. We're seeing that with her and Michelle too. It's like with Jesse, it's like they're just like going to continue to share these like things they've been sitting on. Like in the after show, I feel like Michelle's been doing that with the finance stuff about Jesse. Like she's going there and so is Brittany. And it's just like, again, it's, you feel two ways about it. I shouldn't be hearing this, but also thanks for sharing, you know?
Exactly. And I wish that they put something at the end of the episode or even before that scene being like, if you're struggling with domestic abuse, domestic violence, like, here's how you can help. And I noticed, so I still have cable and I was watching like the end of last week's Valley before this past week. And they did end up putting like a little PSA at the end.
Oh, great.
But I was like, a little too late. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's on Peacock.
I don't know either. That's a good question. I wonder because it didn't, it, but there wasn't one when it initially aired.
No, there
got
wasn't.
It. Got it. Yeah. I mean, the Valley, it's just, were there any other details from the after show that kind of stuck out to you? I just feel like it's also one of those things where everybody finds different things interesting. You know, I'm like, to me, the finance
honestly,
stuff is really crazy.
Yeah.
Like when they were talking about the, like, even like Lala, like talking about how like, or maybe it was Janet who said, like, even if I was like a billionaire, like I would still think that spending $5,000 on a bottle of wine was like a really bad way to spend your money. Like, and that's what Jesse's doing when they're not making money, basically.
Yeah. And I just want to add, if Michelle was hooking up with a billionaire, you would hope her rates would be higher than $1,500. Michelle is very pretty and like would be great arm candy at an event.
Mm-hmm. It's also, they were talking about how, like, once you throw that shit out there, like, even if it's, like, literally has no basis in reality and it is just, like, some stupid joke or rumor, like, as Sheena said, like, that's going to be, like, Googleable with her name forever now, you know? And it sucks. Like, their daughter's going to, like, find that out and find out that her dad said that about her mom when they had there was no evidence of it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. So nuts. I feel bad for like all those kids, like any reality star's children. I'm just like, I hope you can somehow scrub it all before they know how to Google.
Yeah, especially like this age of people who like these, a lot of these people kind of grew up on camera a little bit or around the cameras. And so like they don't really have like they have to share that side of their life to be on the show. But they also don't really have like the awareness or like, I don't know, like the point of view to realize that like it's actually not normal to be like doing this. I don't know. And there's no like way to know about how it affects the kids because it's such a new thing.
Totally. I mean, watching Cruz like kiss Zach and then kind of like hide with Jax felt so dark.
Yeah, that was telling to say the least.
Exactly.
All right, Kelly, let's jump over to Summerhouse. I want to start out, honestly, with the Carl and Sierra conversation. Thoughts on that to kick things off?
I am not a Carl lover. I'm sure he's a very nice person off screen, but on screen, he's just so like cringy. And I feel like cringe gets overused. But in that scene, I was just like, are you going to try? If Bailey was there, would you say that to Bailey? Like, are you just trying to date a girl in a house because she's in front of you?
That's how it felt, to be honest. And Sierra, like, gave him a lot of credit for, like, saying what he felt. And, like, and I kind of agree with Amanda, where, like, I don't think that's actually how he feels. Like, because Amanda says, like, he's sort of confusing Sierra's, like, loyalty as a friend, like, combined with, like, just her beauty and, like just being a good person with, like, being interested in her romantically. But it's, like, no, it's, like, that could have been, like you said, Bailey. That could have been anybody else. And I think he thinks very fondly of Sierra, but I don't know if he's, like... It's also just like, come on, this coming out of nowhere. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about Lil, and now it's like all of a sudden you're like pursuing Sierra. There's just like something very like, you know, copy and paste storyline about it to me, you know, that I'm just like not buying.
And don't we all have a crush on Sierra?
Yes. What frustrates me about it is that it's like, it kind of feels like they're trying to give Carl something to do that's not related to Lindsay. It's like, okay, well, he's moved on. He's had sex with somebody. Let's have him pursue somebody in the house again. It's like, I don't know.
I think Carl has aged out of Summerhouse, and I hope that he finds something outside that show that he can really latch on to, because he's, what, 40 or 41?
Mm-hmm.
Right around there. It's like, I hope he can find an identity, because I've watched this show since the beginning, and he's always just been like a plastic bag in the wind.
Yeah, I know. And he is a good person. It's just like... I agree. I don't think he should be on the show. It's not the best environment for him anyway. So it's sort of
exactly.
Like...
exactly.
I also think Sierra had another fantastic moment this episode when they're all sort of confronting Jesse over the Lexi stuff. And, you know, he basically is very much in denial about how he was acting with Sierra the weekend that Lexi wasn't there. And they talk about the comment he made to Sierra of like, you know, Wes got to you first, but like if I had, like, we could have dated kind of thing. And he says that he said that to her to make her feel better about the Wes situation. And she went off and had the perfect response to it. What did you make of that?
Honestly, the way Jesse is spinning a tale, I'm like, you're just trying to convince yourself at this point.
That's what it is.
You know? And I've been a little hard on Paige and Amanda for how they've been like more pro Jesse
this season
for what we've seen. But it was nice for that to watch them be like, you're not coming at us sideways. You're the one who's telling us all this negative stuff. And this is Lexi's first season. So we're trying, and Amanda's friends with Lexi. So she had to step in and say something. And she was honestly probably being like, girl, if this stuff's true, you need to cut it out. I think that's where she was coming from at the beginning. And then when she heard everything, was kind of like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. It's like Jesse wants to have it both ways. He wants to be able to vent to his friends, but then like he can't get mad at them for then sort of meddling, quote unquote, which is just them repeating some of the things that he said about her, which like aren't the kindest things all the time. And like he kind of wants it. First of all, I don't think they're meddling. And second of all, like I just think he wants it both ways. And it's like Lexi is also entitled to like some fair treatment here.
Yeah. Yeah. In my mind, the girls knew how this was going to look on screen. And maybe that's why maybe they self-produced to be like, we need to get in because people already call us mean girls. So
you think that's what played into that moment where they confronted Jesse a little bit?
Maybe. And I also think Paige was going through stuff with Craig at the time and Amanda's always going through something with Kyle. So maybe they were almost like, don't make the same mistakes we've made with all these like red flags that are popping up. Let's give this girl a fair chance to get out.
I also have one, some of it in that moment is like them sort of taking out some of their feelings about Kyle and Craig and it that summer on Jesse, you know?
Totally. Totally. And I think Lexi's nice. I don't know. I see like back and forth with how viewers feel about her. But overall, she seems nice. And I think Jesse truly thought she was dumb. He said it in the first episode. You know, allegedly he told her off screen, you know, he wanted more screen time and all this other stuff. So I'm sure it was her just kind of putting more pieces together.
Yeah, some of the things that she has said about what he was saying to her, especially I think as it pertains to Wes and the screen time of it all, is super interesting to me. Like that is like very much pulling back the curtain. And again, like I love the way that Summer House has sort of subtly done that this season. I don't think it's like been like in a huge, like crazy fourth wall breaking way, but they have acknowledged in several instances, like these people are on TV. These people have big Instagram accounts. And I think that's great for the show. But I love some of those little tidbits that Lexi has dropped. I think it's been very interesting. And one thing that I have heard about the reunion, Kelly, is that they don't go as hard on Jesse at the reunion that they did on Wes last year. What do you think that he would have deserved the same treatment?
I think worse. Yeah. I think worse if he's telling her, I love you, and then running around being like, I don't even know if I like Lexi. You know, or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Jesse was really calculated. And I think Lexi got really swept up in it. Because why wouldn't you? If this guy who's good looking is giving you all this attention and really seems to want to be with you,
right,
you're probably going to like gravitate more towards him than like the girls at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the breakfast confrontation in front of everybody?
Good for her, because she was sick of telephone and she was like, the whole house is already involved. So why not play it out in front of everyone just so you can't go run and tell, you know, Amanda a different story or West a different story. And he still went and told West a different story.
Totally. No, it's like she held his feet to the fire. And you're right. Like the house was playing into it. And it was so frustrating to see him just shut down again. And Gabby was like, don't shut down. Like we were talking this out. And like, they weren't even yelling. I mean, Lexi was, like, kind of raising her voice a little bit, but it wasn't, like, some screaming match. Like, they were, just, like, didn't respond, basically, verbally. And then he goes up to Wes' room, and he's like, I get it, man. It's not worth the fight. Like, I understand what you did last year. And it's like, I don't know. That really disappointed me, honestly.
And what disappointed me the most was Kyle Cook saying, pipe down.
Yeah.
Come on. Like, your age is showing, Kyle.
And also, like, let Gabby stick up for Lexi. Nobody else is, you know, in the moment. You know, like, you know, I think Lindsay was trying to, like, mediate more. But, like, Gabby was, like, really sticking up for Lexi in a way that I, like, that's great. Also, like, Gabby needs a moment like that. Like, I loved seeing that. And, like, she's been a good friend to Lexi throughout this whole thing, especially in the second half of the summer. So I felt unfulfilled by the confrontation. You know, I felt like I wanted more. And I think that's because of the lack of energy that he gave it, maybe, you know?
Yeah. And I also want to say, like, justice for Gabby. Gabby gets so much shit for being, like, up Lindsay's ass or whatever. But it seems like Gabby gets along with everyone in the house. She might not be, like, as close, but she's gone out on boy night. She's, like, she seems to hang out with, like, Amanda, you know? I don't know. I don't like Gabby's edit at all.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, like, why she gets such little screen time, honestly. But I agree. Like, she's such a good friend to a lot of them. And I love how she, like, is always going out with anybody. Like, anytime the group's going out, like, she's going out. Like, the girls need to go out. Like, not enough them go out. I love them, but not enough of them go out enough. You know, like, that's part of the show. So I'm glad that she gets that part of the assignment, you know?
Totally. And she might not come home at night.
Yeah, she might be getting in it with some, like, I feel like she's always, like, talking about, like, random European guys and stuff. Yeah. It's, like, good for you, Gabby, honestly. I much prefer that than the faceless woman that Emerald brings back and kicks out at 7 a.m. the next morning. So, also, I feel like the conversation that we, like, saw, like, 30 seconds of Jesse and Lexi back in the city, like, later that week, he felt like he was trying to walk it back. And he was like, no, I still want to be together. And she was like, I don't know.
It was so awkward, and producers had to have set that up. It felt like that weird time where, like, Tom and Raquel got back together for, like, a little bit. I was like,
totally.
What is this? This doesn't feel like Summer House.
Mm-mm. It felt, she had said in the kitchen, like, no, I don't want to be exclusive with you. I don't want to date you. Like, and we didn't get enough context on that conversation. There was something weird about that to me, honestly.
That felt Hills.
It did. What was the name of that building that they lived in? It felt like we were meeting up at that apartment building and just, oh my God, I love it. Jen Bunny coming over. Yeah, exactly.
Oh God.
So you think, you called him calculated. Do you think that he was, because I feel like Lexi's accusing him of being, like, strategic basically in this whole thing. Do you think that that's accurate?
Yeah, I think she was smarter than he gave her credit for since day one. And I think he wanted more screen time. And Lexi's really pretty. So it's not like it's hard to, like, want to hook up with Lexi, you know? And I think he took advantage of someone's first season. And I'm even thinking about, like, him being like, she bullied me into meeting my parents or whatever. It's like, you're 30. What do you mean she bullied you?
Right.
And even, like, the after show with Amanda, she said something like, well, he wanted to sleep with her, and to sleep with her, she had to be exclusive. So, what, of course, what's he going to do? And I was like, whoa, Amanda, that's a crazy thing to say. But it's not like an excuse, you know,
no.
She just didn't want to have casual sex.
Yeah, totally. And she's totally obviously entitled to that. Yeah, it's like I go back and forth between thinking that he was strategic or just like, like, he wanted to act the way he wanted to act. Basically, that's, like, the jokester guy who, like, life in the party, whatever. But he still wanted the woman by his side, you know? But he still wanted to, like, have his... I feel like the whole summer was, like, him wanting to have his cake and eat it, too. Not realizing how she was feeling, how he was... Like, I don't know... I don't think he was intentionally being like, all right, like, I'm going to be, like, this to Lexi and then, like, repeat it differently to Wes and the rest of the house. But doesn't matter because he was still treating her poorly and still misrepresenting what they were talking about.
Okay, tinfoil hat time. Okay.
Yeah.
There are a lot of one season wonders on Summer House.
There are.
And I almost think he was trying to make her a one season wonder so he could kind of poison the house against her in a way, saying she has all these red flags. She's stalking my social media, doing all these things, because she might not come back next season. So who cares?
That's a good theory, honestly. And the show's playing into it in that way for you. I buy it, honestly. I do. I do buy it. Last thing I'll say about that is that I was proud of Lexi in that second scene that we saw for not budging. Like, she was like, she's really, like, planting her stake in the ground, and she doesn't seem to be wavering from that. And I think that that's like, that's difficult to do. Again, she's the newbie. She's younger than him. The whole house is like, kind of like swayed against her in a lot of ways. Like, for her to like kind of stick to her guns is really, I liked seeing that from her. you know?
Yeah, Bailey disappeared. She didn't have a close friend.
She didn't have
her.
Backup. Yeah, she didn't have backup at all. That's the other thing people forget about it. It's like the girls, I think it makes sense for them to have loyalty to Jesse in some ways. But again, I liked seeing them confront Jesse, even if I think ultimately they're still on his side of things. You know, that's kind of my impression.
It felt very like John Tucker Must Die, like all the girls surrounding
very
him.
Very that. It's like the final, it's like a final scene. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's all coming to a head.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed-sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
The other kind of, I feel like, big conversation that maybe will be more of a thing later in the season as it ends up is like Kyle and Amanda. So we see Kyle and Tom Schwartz talk about, oh my God, dude, like, I didn't think I'd be 42 without any kids. Like, can you believe it? And they're like cheersing their lover boys. Like, and that sets the scene for this scene that we see between him and Amanda back in the city where she's like, you know, I actually don't know. I definitely want to have kids. And like, he's definitely not in the place in his lifestyle to have kids. But I do think that that's kind of like, if you're him and you're like, you've been on the same page about having kids the whole time, that's a tough thing to hear too, even if he's not ready yet. Like, I don't know. It's a big thing.
I almost wonder, had he have really been more serious about it like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It would have happened, but he's still out every, or maybe not every night, a lot of nights till 4 a.m. And he's still like turning a speaker on in a bedroom. Imagine if they had a baby and he did that, you know?
Right. And it's like he just launched his DJ career too. It's like, again, like if he had launched a DJ career 5 years ago, it's a different story. But like that's, he's like just getting that off the ground still. And it's like, it seems to be doing well for him. Like it's lucrative, but like then Amanda's just home with the baby without you, you know?
Yeah. And it puts a lot more pressure on her.
Totally.
And that's not fair.
No, definitely not. And that's also one of those conversations where I'm like, it was kind of the Valley-esque in that like, it felt like she was telling it to him genuinely for the first time in front of a camera, which I think for Amanda, it actually emboldens her to have the cameras there in that way. You know what I mean? Because I think that she isn't a very confrontational person. She doesn't like to bring things up like that. But I think in that way, it actually is good for her and their relationship that she like can speak her mind in that way. Because I don't know if she would do that otherwise, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's become so much more confident over the years.
Mm hmm. You've been critical, you said, of Paige and Amanda as it pertains to the Jesse Lexi thing.
Mm-hmm.
How have you been falling with the Paige and Craig thing?
Okay, so I am not a Paige girl typically. I'm very much like Lindsay Hubbard is my girl on the show. I love Lindsay. But when it comes to Paige and Craig, I love Paige. Uh-huh. I don't know who Craig, you know.
Okay, but I don't know him.
I don't have as much as like a background with Craig. I know him from Summer House, Winter House, and then like the last few seasons of Southern Charm, I guess. Okay. I've watched.
Okay.
I don't know. Just the way the whole thing happened, and even him like pretending they were still dating on Watch What Happens Live, and even like hinting at maybe proposing, that's weirdo behavior to me. Yeah.
And I think it's so fascinating that like any of us can be like not anti somebody, but like not a huge fan of somebody in one realm or one environment, mm-hmm. but then be totally behind them in another. It's like, so that's the joy of being a Bravo fan, honestly. It's like, just we can change our mind. I love that about that. I think that's great that you can feel both ways about her, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And Paige has grown on me a lot. I'll mm-hmm. say that. Like when I first started watching Summer House, I was like, ooh, she's like a confessional girl, but at reunions pretty quiet. And I don't really love that because I'm a Challenge fan. And I feel like they're like the confessional queens of the Challenge, you know?
Sure.
But yeah, she has grown on me. And I love seeing her and Lindsay be friends.
The best.
You know, I think that's fun. The last two episodes have been pretty good for West, I'll say. You know, West is just like finally having fun, which is nice to see. And do I think we should like hold the New York Times article against him forever? Not exactly.
No, me neither.
But I get why Sierra is.
Totally. But that doesn't mean that everybody has to. And I also think I think what's, I agree about Wes, and I think that something that I'd like to see explored, at least at the reunion, is like, there is this like sliver of tension between him and Jesse. Like, I think for a couple of reasons. And I think that they've been such a unit for their entire time on the show. And to see, like, again, I don't want it to become a huge fracture between them. I think they're meant to be like really good friends, but just to explore a little bit of that complication, you know, in terms of like how Jesse accusing him of flirting with Lexi, the screen time thing, a couple of different, those different details, I think really, they blur the edges of the picture, I think, a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I thought Jesse being like, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean you were flirting with him, is crazy.
Crazy.
And even like the episode before, Jesse was talking to Carl about driving with Sierra.
Yeah.
And immediately he's like, over the pants hand job, like about Sierra. And West is like, what?
Yeah, that was crazy. That was wild.
Why did you say that?
Mm-hmm. And it's like a little bit insensitive to Wes in terms, like, it's just, and that's, I guess, what comes to the territory of the show, but it's just, they're all cross-pollinating.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I just love this silly show. It's so good. It hits the spot for me.
What did you think of this season? Because I've seen a lot of people say they don't love this season. I'm having like a great time with it.
I really like it. Like, I feel genuinely like I've been invested in so many of the different, like, I really wanted to see the Wes and Sierra stuff to come to fruition. The Kyle Loverboy, Craig Spritz drama stuff, like, is fascinating to me. Craig and Paige has been, I think it's been really genuine and authentic to see how Paige is like literally in real time realizing her feelings about her relationship with Craig. And like, the conversation with Sierra have been amazing. I think it's really fun seeing Lindsay pregnant. Lexi and Jesse, like, I don't feel super like passionate about that necessarily, but I still think it's like fun to talk about. And I don't know, like, I think there's a lot of storylines that like I'm genuinely interested in. And I do think there's like a, you know, the premise of the show and the people on the show are definitely, they're coming up against each other a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think they're gonna have to figure something out for the next season, or and definitely the season after that. But I don't know what the answer is really. But I see the criticism, but I don't necessarily feel it in my bones, you know?
Yeah, I just love seeing like someone standing up to a man on Summer House.
Always.
You know, I think we've seen Amanda kind of be almost like, you know, I'm not going to call her a doormat because that's not fair, but she's kind of let Kyle talk to her crazy and, you know, all that. And like seeing Lexi really stand her ground was something I appreciated, because we've only seen that with like Lindsay, and the way that Lindsay comes at it is like, you know, explosive. And I love it.
Yeah. Activated, baby. Activated.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm on the same page with you about this season, but I'm just, they have to make some big decisions about the show, like, now, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious what they're going to do. I want the Valley Summer House, you know? I want that, whatever that looks like, of them in the city or the suburbs or wherever they end up. That's what I want.
Yeah, and I loved, like, the kickball scene, but one scene that made me laugh a lot was West sleeping on the trampoline.
I mean, the Zootopia thing in general was so cute, honestly. I did like that.
Yeah, and I love moments like that. Like, sure, I love the drama and everything, but I love when they're just being silly and having fun.
Because that is so, like, if you've ever been in some sort of house like that, where it's, like, a million people, like, you know, partying, and then you end the night that way all the time, you know? Or, like,
yeah,
the night after a day party, or, like, that's, like, so relatable. Like, let's just post up and watch a movie and, like, pass out. Like, that's, yeah, that was real, and I loved that. That was really cute. Well, Kelly, this has been so much fun. Thank you for coming on Gabbing with Gib. I love your thoughts. I love getting your opinions on these shows. Tell everyone when and where they can listen to your podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much for having me, first of all. I'm, like, so excited to be here. Beyond the Blinds, we have a pop culture episode and a Bravo episode every week. Those come out on Wednesdays. Then we have another episode that comes out on Thursday.
Good for
you.
We
have a Patreon episode on Saturday, and we're going on tour. So our first live show is in Dallas on May 13th. And
so exciting.
Yeah, if you go to Beyond the Blinds Pod, you can get your tickets, link in bio. And then I'm like, anything else? I guess my handle's Laguna Biatch, if you want to follow my Instagram.
The iconic Laguna Biatch handle. My fave. So good.
But yeah, just thank you so much for having me.
Of course. This has been a pleasure, and we'll do it again soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gib on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.